Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Morning. It is Friday, y'all. So excited. Friday, the weekend. 61 degrees, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock right here on WRHIFM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Patty Mercer. You can also watch us on Comporium Channel 103. And Lucas has the day off. I'm sure he's probably listening to his lineup of songs, his playlist, as he refers to it. And Tyler, how do you feel when you play a song and Lucas says, "Well, that's a good one. I'm going to add it to my playlist." Oh, no, it's got a good feeling, right?
It's a good feeling. Yeah.
Better than when he goes, "Ah, really? You're playing that?"
And I, Lucas.
Yeah, it's all good. We have a good time in here. And of course, joining the conversation, sitting in the big chair, Lucas's chair, keeping it warm for him, is a really special guy. Love him to pieces. Fire Chief of TKK, Glenn Hasty. Good morning.
Good morning.
And of course, met you because of your lovely wife, Caroline, and your two beautiful daughters. Yeah. Now you have a son-in-law.
I do.
Oh, my goodness.
Life has changed. Added one to the family.
Well, good, good. That guy's a lucky guy because you guys are really a great family. Reached out to you because you've been a firefighter how long?
Since 1985.
1985.
Yeah.
A career.
It's a career. It's a love.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's
a lifestyle.
It truly is. I've gained so much respect. TKK Fire Department, you guys really embrace, as you said, COVID has changed some of the things that you do. But Tell me how you manage to share an inside look with the community.
We've transitioned a little bit. We're using social media now more than ever. Obviously, we want to get people back in the fire station and embrace people again, you know, and share what we see and what we know, and be a part of the community. You know, the whole COVID dynamic really, it paused us just a little bit, but we found another way to embrace and engage.
Well, one thing about it, when it comes to training, whether you are learning to rescue children or those with disabilities or mental health issues, you've got to always be aware when others are running from a dangerous situation, firefighters, first responders, you are running towards it.
Right.
September 11th, 2001, unprecedented.
Life-changing.
Where were you on that day?
I was a company officer in the city of Charlotte. I was riding a fire company in the uptown business district. So it was different than you would ever believe. Everything stopped.
Everything stopped, and in fact, Charlotte was a potential high threat because of the banking and our skyline.
Yes. We were the number two at the time. We're the backup for the stock market.
Wow.
And, you know, the New York Stock Exchange. So we were a potential threat. So it did totally change. They evacuated the city the first time ever that they evacuated the center city. And it was eerie.
Very eerie. You know, when you look at the unknown, in just less than 2 hours, we went from thinking it was like a commuter plane that hit the tower to full on, this is an attack on America, and there are other planes in the sky.
Right.
What was the instructions that you were given? I mean, were you all called into a meeting? Were you just, how do you assimilate this information so quickly to be able to put a plan together where you are? And it's the unknown.
Right. Well, we paused for just a minute to evaluate what was going on. I mean, just like everybody else, we were watching the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we realized what was going on. Initially, like you said, we thought it was just a small plane. You know, how many times did a small plane or aircraft hit a building? It's happened before. but nothing like this. And, you know, the true magnitude, we got back to where we could see what had happened on TV, and it just broke our hearts. We knew what was going on. We knew what was in those firefighters' minds and the police officers and Port Authority. They were going to rescue people.
But, you know, talking about the unknown, who would have ever thought that it would be so time sensitive? I mean, what would the protocol have been under a typical situation like that? Were you trained to rescue? I mean, do you rescue from the top of the building? Do you rescue from the bottom? How do you even know?
You have to push forward. So it goes back to, like you said, your training. And we did. We paused for just a minute to evaluate where we were. And we realized that, you know, we were a threat. And, you know, we were thinking about all of those who were basically in battle going to get people, make those rescues. And, you know, we're trained from the very beginning. And it's a lifestyle. But you're trained from the very beginning to lay your life down for somebody else. And that's what those guys and ladies were doing. They were going to find those people and get them out of that building. And that's where we were at. You know, we're in the same position. So if the same thing had happened that day in Charlotte, we would have been in the tower and we'd have been going to get people.
And, you know, the family lifestyle of a firefighter, you know, it's truly, you all are so close-knit that you share something very, very special. Courage, just being willing to, selflessness, to put your life second to saving another person. How did training change after that?
We had a heightened training, more towards terrorist events. You know, we'd had a tremendous amount of training in the typical things we always did. You know, firefighting, hazardous materials, emergency medical technician, those things. But we had a heightened training, more geared towards terrorist events. And it's changed. That's something we see every day now. You know, those are the training things that we continue to do to help prepare us. You know, hopefully it never happens again, but we want to be ready.
I remember every day getting the report on, what was it, green, red, yellow. I mean, mm-hmm. We went from measuring the ultra-ray sunshine to how high was the threat of terrorism in a given day.
Yeah.
Nobody could really relax. One question, okay, this is very basic. Excuse me why during a fire, when you're in a high rise, you never take the elevator? They always say, take the steps.
That's one of the first things to fail. So, you know, for us, we always take the stairs because we're worried about getting stuck in that elevator.
Okay.
Now, if someone gets stuck in the elevator, we can get them out, but it will take a long time, especially if we're focused on trying to affect rescues and those kind of things. So that's why we always take the stairs.
Always take the stairs.
Or we'll ride, if it's a high rise, we'll ride up to a safe area several floors below the fire, and we'll stop and get out. But there's a series of checks we do before we do that.
Wow. Just incredible. And I can't imagine climbing the steps of one of the World Trade Towers because that was so high. In terms of just going forward, how are we doing with recruiting? Did you see an impact of more wanting to pursue firefighting, or did you see less?
Actually, we saw an increase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for several years, and we're still blessed to have applicants and people that want to get involved and want to help and contribute to protect their neighbor, to save their neighbor. And it's awesome to see that.
We saw so many, you know, from across the nation heading to New York.
Mm-hmm.
How did they determine? Was it just a volunteer basis of firefighters that wanted to go to the site in New York City and help? Or was that also a protocol?
It was a volunteer thing. Some departments were asked to send people. You know, our department did send some people. But they were vetted very closely and, you know, then allowed to go to the site as needed. You know, it was a controlled environment, obviously, because it was a huge crime scene.
Absolutely.
You know, and they wanted to make sure that everything was done right to honor the people that had perished.
Fantastic. So 20 years, we were alive.
Mm-hmm.
We remember the day. Not the case for everybody.
Yeah.
On this. What is the message? What is the lesson that you, you know, you pray about, that you hope that we never, ever forget?
That's it exactly, Patty. My girls were very young. I had a One was less than one, and one was three. And, you know, we teach them. You know, it's changed our lives forever and changed the way we do business. It's changed the freedoms that we had. And we don't ever want to forget. We don't want to forget the lives that were lost then, and we don't want to forget the lives that have been lost since, trying to protect our freedom.
Yeah.
So that's the big message.
Yeah. Well, thank you so very much for what you do every day in terms of just saving lives and being willing to give your life.
Absolutely.
True heroes right here.